Hello, and welcome to another episode of Morgan's Pop Talks, bringing down the latest in reality TV and pop culture. So happy to have you here today. My DMs are flooded right now. They're flooded with two different things. Where's Kate, which is what we will get to, and what happened to my face? I got to tell you what happened to my face. If you are watching on YouTube, you can see that I'm repping a little Band-Aid. I have been able to downgrade the Band-Aids, which is great. If you saw me on Monday or even Tuesday, I had a Band-Aid that covered the entirety of my face, okay? Like the whole right side of my face was covered in this massive Band-Aid. So I had a little procedure. I had a cyst, you guys, on my cheek. And what I noticed about it was that it was getting bigger, and then it would go back down, and then it would get bigger, and then it would go back down. But it was like right on the apple of my cheek, and it just looked like an annoying little zit. And I'm like, I want to get this off of my face, especially because I'm getting, you know, married in front of a lot of my friends and family in a couple of months. So I was like, let's just cut it out. It'll be fine, whatever. I wasn't anticipating it to be like as big of an ordeal as it actually was. If you're squeamish, now's not the time. You know, suck it up, buttercup, because we're going to talk about it. I was envisioning one of those like Dr. Pimple Popper videos, you know, where you just do a little prick and then you can watch this video for 20 minutes of stuff just continuing to come out of people's bodies. You know, that's what I thought I was in for. That's not what I was in for. Got numbed. That was fun. It did hurt, yes, but after the third one, I like couldn't feel a thing. You guys, I don't know how else to say it besides to say they sliced me open real good. Real good. They did. They sliced me. They got the scalpel out. It was like they were digging for treasure. X marks the spot. They did it on my face. And here I am. They sewed me up for the first time in 31 years. I have stitches. This is the first time I've ever gotten stitches. And you know, I like to look at life glass half full. And I'm like, you know, at least I made it 31 years and have never had to get stitches until this moment. I'll be needing stitches. The reason why I am channeling also Shawn Mendes is, I don't know about y'all, but I've been wondering where Shawn Mendes for the past like couple weeks. Like, where is he? Why haven't we seen him? What is he doing? Is he working on new music? It's like ever since him and Camila Cabello broke up, poof, he's gone. Where is he? Where is he? I need to know. Okay. Anywho, so thank you for all the well wishes, the thoughts and prayers, the T's and P's. It's fine. I'm not going to be dramatic about it. I just want to bury my head in the sand. No, not really. You know, actually, it was super embarrassing because I had to go to work the next day with the big Band-Aid on, the big one that covered my whole entire face. And at first I was like, oh, I don't want to go to work with this big Band-Aid on my face. Like, how embarrassing. But then I was like, I don't care. I truly don't care. I had to get my face cut open and I had to get stitches. What do they want from me? Do they want me to look like America's next top model at all times? It's just not going to happen. So hello world. This is me. Stitched up. Yes, husband David has made the Nelly joke at least 3 times a day. So sure, I'm just embracing it. I have no idea how long I'm going to have to look like this. It doesn't hurt, which is good. It only hurts when I have to change the Band-Aid because, you know, I mean, I don't want to get all into it, but, you know, we're okay. We're on the mend. They said it's a cyst, you know, they're sending it to the lab and all those things. So whatever, it is what it is, but we're here. I was like, I'm not going to let a little Band-Aid keep me from bringing you the tea on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Who knows how much longer we're going to have TikTok left. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and put it all out there. I'm not going to have this planned surgery on my face and then disappear like Kate Middleton, poof, into the night. Yeah, we're going to talk about it a little bit later in the deep dive. But I also want to tell you something secret and something fun, something exciting that I will be able to tell you more details about next week. I can't give it all away right now because of some other things that have to come through, but your girl is going to have a major life update next week. When I say major, I mean major. So be here. All right, let's get into the pop three. These are the three biggest headlines in reality TV and pop culture. So Paris Hilton is fighting with Mauricio Umansky. So we are witnessing the Hilton-Umansky drama in real time. We've heard a lot about it, but we never really knew why. We knew something happened with Mauricio working for Rick Hilton back in the day in their real estate agent or their real estate agency. Yeah. And then him starting his own, but we never really knew like the nitty gritty, like what does it mean? What happened? Who said what? Well, now Netflix just dropped a teaser for season two of Buying Beverly Hills. And I am convinced that Mauricio Umansky is like so determined for Buying Beverly Hills to be this huge hit because he is like just letting it all out there. He is spilling the tea, whether he's talking about Kyle, now he's talking about Rick Hilton. This is what they said in the teaser. I think I got kind of bleeped by Hilton and Highland, which was the agency back in the day. He says, you know, like today I'm happy, but there were 100 agents at Hilton and Highland. They did $1 billion for the first time a year. I was 19.6% of their production. So Mauricio in this clip says he approached Rick, telling him he wanted equity and to be a full partner at their real estate firm. Mauricio claimed that he was told no following their conversation. And then he went home and he had a conversation with Kyle. And he said, Kyle, look, this is what I want for myself. This is what I want for our future. I know it's your family. So what should we do? He says, I went home. I talked to Kyle. I go, this is really going to cause a lot of stress between you and your sister and your family. And I don't want to do this move of leaving and starting a company if you are not comfortable. She was 100% supportive. So that was all in like a little kitchen. No, they weren't in the kitchen. It was like they were drinking wine by a campfire. And then you go to this confessional moment from Mauricio. He says, I think Hilton and Highland is an amazing company and I would never be caught dead speaking poorly about them because I don't think poorly about them. And I am Rick's brother-in-law, but unfortunately it got sour because it really affected the family. Kyle more than anybody, you know, her family stopped talking to her. So then Paris Hilton went on social media, and this is what she said on Instagram. My father is a consummate gentleman and has always taken the higher road. He would never speak negatively about his family, especially in the press. Frankly, we are all sick of him using the Hilton name every chance he gets to plug his lame show. It is enough already. I might have an unpopular opinion about this because I love Paris Hilton. I do adore her. She's one of my favorites. But I'm even hesitant to say it, but it feels like you're fighting your parents' battles. I didn't take anything that Mauricio said here as bad-mouthing them. Never speak negatively. To me, it wasn't negative. It was just, this is the situation at what happened. I, you know, asked to be a partner and they told me no. Is that necessarily negative? Maybe. Maybe that has a negative connotation to it because Rick wouldn't allow him to be a partner. But it's not like, you know, he cussed me out of the room and threw a book at my head and said I would never be a partner and that I was a scum of the earth. It's not like that. It's just a business decision. So I also feel like I'm really tiptoeing around this one, you guys. Kids typically don't know the full story either. I feel like even when you have any family drama, the only side of the story that you know is the side that you're close to. And obviously, you're going to go to bat for your family 10 times out of 10. So it doesn't even matter, I don't think. You know, there's two sides to every story. I feel like as a daughter, if I was in Paris's shoes, I'd probably feel the same. But I'm not naive to the fact that there would be another side of the story that isn't my parents' side of the story. Do you get what I'm saying? So I just feel like, you know, to plug his lame show, like, get over it. You guys are all in the reality TV game. Like, it is what it is. You know the drill by now. I almost feel like this to me doesn't feel like Paris. It feels like Kathy, you know? So anyways, that's my hot take. Let's move on to The Bachelor, because The Bachelor was really interesting this week. We're down to the final three, and Leslie Fima sent poor Kelsey into a spiral. So like I said, The Bachelor is down to the final three women. It's Rachel, Daisy, and Kelsey. I was super excited because our golden girls were back. Susan looking like a breath of fresh air in that bright blue. Leslie, I was so excited to see. Sandra, I was so excited to see. And they all came in to give the final three pep talks. You know, Susan sat down with Rachel, Leslie sat down with Kelsey, and then Sandra sat down with Daisy. I remain spoiler free, so I don't know who wins. Rachel was my pick from night one. I think it's pretty clear that she's not winning the whole thing. But, you know, she is down to the final three. But I do think that the race is super tight right now between Kelsey and Daisy. But everyone's been obsessed with Daisy. Can I have another hot take? Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm feeling it. I guess the numbing medication made me just feel a little bit more brave in my hot takes. I don't understand the Daisy hype. Like, I understand that she is super cute, super bubbly. She's got a heartwarming story. Like, all the makes of a great Bachelor contestant, right? But people are like rioting in the streets over Daisy. And I just don't, I don't really understand why it's that serious, why it's that serious. But in my opinion, this was the first week that Kelsey started to pull ahead a little bit. I mean, the way that they were like making out on the kitchen counter, I was like, oh, okay. And Joey, you know, expressed to both Kelsey and Daisy that he was falling in love with the both of them. But what everyone is talking about in this episode is Leslie, my girl Leslie. I was so excited. Like, David was in the kitchen when Leslie came on. I was like, oh, our girl Leslie, she's back. I was so excited for her. And then she started speaking and I was like, what is going on? Leslie put some seeds of doubt into Kelsey's head. She's like, you know, I was feeling really confident heading into my fantasy suite with Gary. I look back and I almost wish that I wasn't that confident about Gary, because my story ended up in heartbreak and tragedy, and I've never been the same since, and I never want to find love again. It was like that level of just wildness. It really was like the opposite of what you would expect out of a pep talk. It was so bizarre. It was so weird. It was so cuckoo. And I was just disappointed. And then we see at the end of the episode, Kelsey is the one that slips Joey a little note in his door that says, we need to talk. So is she going to leave? I think we got a lot of context clues that somebody leaves early, right? Somebody leaves early. So we'll see if it ends up being Kelsey. I have another hot take. You guys, the anesthesia, what they put me under, it changed my DNA, and I'm just feeling more bold today. But everybody loves Joey too. And like, I love Joey. I do. I'm kind of over his sob story though. Like, get it together. I want a bachelor who's not so insecure, because that's what it is, that he's crying every single episode because he doesn't think that it's going to work out. I want a man. I want a man to be able to demand a room. I want a Tyler Cameron. I want a guy who knows exactly what he has to offer. And like, I appreciate Joey being vulnerable and, you know, talking about his insecurities, but like, buck up, Joey. I would like to see you with a little bit of confidence. We're going to talk more about The Bachelor on the Patreon, which comes out on Friday, the pop of batch tier. Okay, today's sponsor is Factor Meals. Finally, starting to get warmer. You want to spend your time outside and not in the kitchen. With Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Visit factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50. To get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. You can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/poptalks50 and use code poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code poptalks50 at factormeals.com/poptalks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Certainly not least, The Valley got another trailer and we're seeing more of what's going on with Jax and Brittany and their separation. So this week's episode of Vanderpump Rules is setting up for the return of Jax Taylor, Brittany Cartwright, and The Valley. The girls are at a little lunch and Katie mentions still hearing stories about Jax going around town and cheating rumors and whatever. So also this week, we got a much better trailer of The Valley that's giving more information as to what's going on with their separation. Some of the quotes from this trailer, you know, they're fighting about the family, cheating rumors. Schwartz says that Jax will end up like him, divorced and miserable. You know, Brittany says, I don't feel like he's attracted to me. We don't have sex ever. Jax says it's so hard to be married sometimes. They get into an argument. Jax or Brittany like is on the verge of crying and he's like, don't cry. And she's like, I can't even have emotions. And he says, no, you can't. And then he says she has a problem, talking about Brittany. I don't listen to their podcast when reality hits, but I have seen some comments that do. And people are like, well, this is weird. They're going to like this like Comic-Con. Yeah, Jax and Brittany go to Comic-Con podcast and it's like they're together co-parenting and co-podcasting and everyone's like they're like giggling on the podcast and they're in Kentucky doing this Comic-Con. So it's just weird vibes, weird energy. I don't know. I just am going to echo the sentiments that I had last week. Are we surprised that Jax Taylor is having marital issues? I'm surprised it took 5 years. Maybe it's just because they weren't on TV. Let's get into the deep.
There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. It's something that I have struggled with in the past, which is why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best with no complicated routines, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. Right now, I'm using the OS1 Eye Topical Supplement to help strengthen and firm the skin around my eyes. So far, I've noticed it has improved hydration and improved firmness. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code POPTALKS at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code POPTALKS. After your purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show and tell them I sent you because I love you like a sis.
Deep dive. Every single week on my Instagram at Morgan P. Talks, I open up the deep dive to you. What do you want to know more about? Of course, this week it has taken us all by storm. Where in the world is Kate Middleton? The deep dive comes from Jackie.
Hey, Morgan. This is Jackie from Houston, Texas. My deep dive submission is obviously the Kate Middleton saga. What is with these botched photos and what do you think is going on? Love you. Love the pod. Bye.
Thank you, Jackie. Love you like a sis. We're going to get into the trenches. I'm just warning you, a lot of dates, a lot of timestamps, a lot of conspiracy theories. We are getting in there because I don't think a story has ever captivated the world. Maybe not ever, but there are very few stories, conspiracy theories that captivate the entire world. Like Watergate. Where is Kate Middleton? What is she doing? Why hasn't she been seen? The past 2 weeks specifically has been a conspiracy circus for Princess Catherine, Kate Middleton, and subsequently the royal family. Everybody is talking about this. Here's where it began. Kate had what they're calling a planned abdominal surgery. That was on January 16th. That has been the it's always a planned abdominal surgery and nothing else and nothing more. That's what's been given to the public about the procedure that she's had. However, Christmas Day was actually the last time that she was seen in public. She was seen leaving church services in Sandringham, the family's country residence north of London. Now, before we get into all of this, of course, it depends on who you ask. You know, people who have seen Kate Middleton in the car with her mom, in the car with William 2 days ago, whatever. We'll get into that in a second. But her last big public appearance was on Christmas Day. Even though the planned surgery was on January 16th and everybody knew about that, there was this other story that came out by a Spanish journalist. Her name is Concha Calleja, and she is challenging the palace's claims, saying that Kate was hospitalized on December 28th, despite Kensington Palace's January announcement, and added that the princess was not doing well. The report obviously spurred online conspiracy theories. There were pictures of royal convoys heading to a London hospital, you know, from their home on December 28th. So we don't know what happened on December 28th. We don't know if it was Kate going to the hospital. We don't know if it was just nothing, but there were like police sirens and everything. We don't know what happened there, but that is one theory. But like I said, January 16th and January 17th, Kensington Palace made the announcements. So it was January 17th that the announcement that Kate underwent a planned abdominal surgery and will be hospitalized for 10 to 14 days. The palace added that it is unlikely that Kate will participate in any public engagements until after Easter, which is on March 31st. So, okay, totally normal. You know, you have a surgery, you recover, you don't want to overcommit, especially if you're somebody like Kate freaking Middleton. February 27th is when alarm bells started to ring because Prince William abruptly pulled out of his godfather's memorial service. So that's when concerns for Kate's well-being kind of started to get a little more heightened because, you know, if you're Prince William pulling out of a memorial service at Windsor for his godfather, you know, the late Constantine of Greece, I mean, that's a red flag. So he was scheduled to give a reading. So Kensington Palace said that his absence was due to a personal matter. Now, this is a month after this planned abdominal surgery. February 27th, also Buckingham Palace announced the death of Thomas Kingston. Thomas Kingston was a member of the extended royal family. Royal experts noted it was quite odd that multiple media outlets reported that William's departure from the memorial service was not connected to Thomas Kingston's death. Obviously, the conspiracy theorists frequently referenced the strangeness of these reports and pointed to the fact that Thomas Kensington had once dated Kate's sister, Pippa Middleton. Now, I don't know if it's so hard because you don't want to feed into the conspiracy theory. And I'm not trying to connect any dots for you. I'm just telling you everything that was going on in the royal family at one particular moment. So that being that moment. That all has led us up to March. So it's now March and nobody has seen her and people are like, okay, what's happening? Even 2 weeks ago, it wasn't as bad as it is right now, but people were still questioning. So Kensington Palace gets another statement on their hands. They say Kensington Palace made it clear in January the timelines of the princess's recovery and we'd only be providing significant updates. That guidance stands. So they're doubling down. Easter, Easter, Easter. You are not going to see Kate Middleton until Easter. She is not going to be anywhere until Easter, which is on March 31st. So on March 4th, she was seen for the first time since the surgery in a car with her mom, Carol Middleton. It was not good enough for some people. Some people looked at that photo and were like, that's not Kate Middleton. You know, when I saw it, I was like, oh, cool. There she is. She's riding with her mom. All is well. But people were like, she's missing her mole and she has a different nose and her face looks a little bit different. And it's like, okay, well, she just underwent a surgery. So let's not sit here and nitpick her appearance. But I'm just articulating this because people were still questioning whether or not that was Kate. This is when William steps in. He says, his focus is on work and not on social media. This was insisted by one member of his team. Kensington Palace, you know, stood by their earlier statement. They're only going to be providing significant updates. And that was on March 6th. They said that. The wheels started to fall off
on the Mother's Day pick. So Mother's Day is in March in the UK, in case you were confused. And so with all this noise, this photo was released. This photo has since gone viral. You know, it was supposed to be a, hey, look, everything is good. Everything is fine. It totally derailed, blew up in their faces. And now the conspiracy theory is at an all-time high. It was completely Photoshop botched. I don't know if it was AI. I don't know if it was Photoshop, but she shared this on her social media. It was Kate and her three kids, you know, sharing her thanks for the support during the past 2 months. But it was quickly dissected and picked apart. You know, one of her hands was blurry. The other one wasn't. She wasn't wearing her wedding ring. You know, little Charlotte's sleeve on her sweater was like half disappeared. Louis's fingers looked all weird. It was botched. Okay. Everyone can admit it was botched. So much so that the Associated Press came out and sent a kill notice about this photo. I can't ever remember a time in my life where this has happened. But basically, the Associated Press owns a bunch of other media conglomerates, and they're like, do not use this picture because it's not real. And that is when people were just like, what is going on? So Kate posted Twitter the next day, and this is what it says. Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. See. I mean, there are a million different things I can say right now. The first being, I don't think that Princess Kate or Prince William run their social media accounts. So I find it very hard to believe that Kate Middleton woke up on Tuesday morning and like wrote this out on X. I just have a hard time believing that. But of course, the explanation didn't make things any better. You know, criticism and skepticism continued, and people were demanding that Kensington Palace release the original untouched photo. They haven't done it. And then we get this weird moment on Celebrity Big Brother UK. So Kate's mom, her name is Carol. Carol's brother, Gary, is on Celebrity Brother UK. And Ek and Sue from Love Island and the Traitors is also on Big Brother. Ek and Sue, the people's champ, goes up to Gary and says, can I ask you a question? Where is Kate? And his answer or lack of answer was jarring, not only because he didn't answer the question, because, you know, I mean, he very easily could say, you know, that they don't want to talk about it, which is totally fine. It's totally fine. But what he said was, if it's announced, I'll give an opinion on it, which is an odd way to answer the question. I feel like you could tell that he was a little bit caught off guard. And Ekin says, I hope she's okay. And he kind of avoids. And she says again, I hope she's okay. And he says, she's getting the best care in the world. So obviously, that just didn't help at all. There was another photo that came out of them in the car. You know, oh, here's Kate again with Prince William in the car. You can only see Prince William's face. Kate's head is turned the other direction. There's weird photo stuff going on with that too. The bricks don't match outside the car. It's just a whole nightmare. So what does it all mean? I mean, I wish I could tell you. I don't know. I can tell you some of the theories, the conspiracy theories, because that's what they are. One, that she was and is in a coma. Two, that she and William are getting divorced. Three, that she had a mental break. Four, that there's more to the story when it comes to the death of Thomas Kingston. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just relaying the information to you. Here's what I do know. The royal family is a well-oiled PR machine. And the fact that this conspiracy theory has gotten this far, the fact that Kategate has fallen off the rails, is alarming. It's so easy to squash a story like this, especially in 2024. Make a little video or even just a real picture. Hey guys, all is well. I appreciate the concern. Back off. But that's not happening. So you have to ask yourself,
Why? Besides the doctored photo, we get this photo in the car with William and Kate, but you only see the back of her head. The bricks are two different colors in two different sizes. That's supposed to calm the crowd? It's not going to calm the crowd. It's done the exact opposite. And my feeling is because this type of story is so easy to debunk, but they have not debunked it, someone does not want to comply. I don't know who that someone is. Is it Kate? Is it William? Again, why? We don't know. But what I do know is it's not a good look for the royal family. All right, to wrap up this week's episode, we're going to do a pulse check on Vanderpump Rules. The last two episodes of Vanderpump Rules, I thought, have been pretty good, and it's been a slow season, so I'm all here for it. But this week's episode really ticked me off, honestly. Let's start with Joe. Wow. I mean, what do you want to say? What do you want to say about Joe? She's catching a lot of flack online, so I'm not going to say what I want to say because it's sad. But, you know, Katie described Joe as spooky. And that's one way to put it. That's one way to put it. You know, Schwartz said she's not everyone's cup of tea, and I'll just co-sign that one. She's not everybody's cup of tea. I talked about Sheena a little bit on the page this week before I had my incision. And just me thinking that Sheena is looking for Ariana to coddle her about the situation. And after watching this week's episode, I feel like, honestly, I mean, not to brag, but I think I was pretty spot on. You know, Sheena wants Ariana and only Ariana to coddle her about her losing this friendship with Tom Sandoval. It's almost like Sheena is looking for validation from Ariana. And Katie Maloney is proving to be the only loyal person on that show. And it's no wonder. She's the only cast member who has never cheated or never been a part of the a cheating triangle, because that girl is loyal. Loyal. I think it's not super hard for Katie to be loyal to Ariana in this moment because of her history with Sandoval. Obviously, we got a little bit of that at that girl's lunch. But I'm also glad that she's just putting Sheena and Lala in check at that lunch. Like, why are we still talking about Tom Sandoval? Why are you trying to force me to have sympathy for Tom Sandoval? Not only did he do this horrific thing and lied to not only Ariana, but to all of us for 9 months, he also played a big role in the demise of my marriage. And that is accurate. I totally feel her on that. You know, Lala's bugging me really bad too. It's like, if this was Randall, she would burn the place down. In fact, she did burn the place down on behalf of Ariana 5 months earlier. So I just don't understand it. It's like, sure, time heals and whatever. Time should heal. Time should not erase. So I just have a hard time like reconciling such a mood shift from Lala and Sheena. I can't imagine if I was Ariana and one of my girlfriends was acting like Sheena. I could not imagine. I would not be friends with her anymore. I would not. And the fact that Ariana is, I'm like, wow. Although I did see on Watch What Happens Live that she was like, you know, I didn't know that Sheena was saying some of the things that she said. Obviously, it hurts my feelings. Obviously, I'm thinking about things a little bit differently. But I also do think, and I talked about this on the page too, that Sheena cares a lot about the success of Vanderpump Rules. On multiple occasions now, we have heard her talk about how she was worried the show wasn't going to get renewed. During the pandemic, she had no income. We saw the effect of that thought, right, on last season of Vanderpump Rules, and she was really pushing Schwartz and Rachel together because I believe she thought that is what would make for good ratings. So I have to sit here, I have to wonder, you know, like, is she doing this with the same thoughts in mind that she wants Vanderpump Rules to reach a season 15 and not end at season 11? I don't know. But I don't think Ariana is being unreasonable at all. She doesn't want to hear about her ex that cheated on her with her friend. Why is that so crazy? I don't understand why that is so crazy to Lala and Sheena. And the girls' night got really intense. You know, but then again, Lala just thinks that she can bulldoze people because it's her way or the highway. And I'm glad that Katie barked back. I feel like Lala, when people go toe-to-toe with Lala, you know, she is very demanding in an argument. Like, it is scary to go up against her, and not a lot of people do. But I was glad that Katie, like, wasn't having any of it. She's like, this is a bit much. You're a bit much all the time. You know, they're going back and forth. But at the end of the day, Ariana is allowed to set boundaries for herself that she doesn't want to hear about her ex. She does not want to hear about her ex. It's just so weird to me. It's so weird to me that they're making that a big deal. It's like totally different if you go to, they're like, she's worried that, you know, she can't go out to dinner and have fun. It's like one thing if you're going in a big group and he's there, okay? You don't sit next to him. You can be civil, but it's not like you're going to be creating these lifelong memories with Tom Sandoval. It's another thing to be like texting him and be like, hey, what's up? You want to go to dinner? Blah, 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 blah. It's not that hard. It's really not that hard. I don't understand why they're making it that hard. Maybe they want to make a good season. Who knows? Who knows? Can I also just say I'm really annoyed with the Love is Blind situation that's happening right now. I know by now everyone's probably seen it, but recording this episode right now, it hasn't come out until 9 o'clock, so annoying. We'll definitely recap on Extra Pop, which comes out on Friday. Also, a Love is Blind cast member will come on MPT next week, so make sure you guys tune in. If you haven't left a review, please do so. Haven't had one since February. So a little 5-star boop boop, a little love you like a sis, a little thoughts and prayers for your stitches, Morg. That would be nice. Keep me in your T's and P's. All right. See you next week. As always, love you like a sis.
A Huda Media Production.